Ezekiel, if you will. While you're finding your place in Ezekiel 37, Brother Adam, Pastor Adam, wanted me to mention there is children's church. So if you have a child that's in children's church and you want to go to that, you can get up and make your way and head that way. If you want to go, you're welcome to go and get up. If I could, I would. And that. So children's church is a lot of fun. So they're headed that way. You know, it's a challenging time because right now, I understand we're not doing a nursery till the end of, you know, at the end of July. Kim Bilko heads up our nursery, and that's one of the questions or concerns. I'm going to grab my pulpit. And that. So one of the things, Kim is let me get this here. They did this now that even a preacher can move this thing around. So that's good. You got to have a special driver's license for this thing. So anyway, the nursery, hopefully, we'll make a determination soon, and we'll be back in session hopefully in August. I don't know. We'll see. A lot of that depends on the nursery workers. So, you know, some feedback from those that work in the nursery, if you can help us out with that. Let us know kind of what you're thinking. That would be great. Children's Church, they're back in Children's Church there, so pray for that. There's other things in the children's ministry we need your prayers for. One is the Awana ministry is headed up by Barb Allison and so Awana's going to be starting up. We're planning on starting back up, but we're going to need help this year. We need help in the cubbies and some workers in the Awana ministry. So if that's something you think you can help us with, that would be great. And help us in the work in the Awana ministry. You'd be blessed to be able to work with the children. And that Awana is on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And if you're interested, see one of the staff members. It's Barb. I don't know if Barb's in here today or not, but see Barb or one of the staff, and we'll get you hooked up and headed in the right direction. But Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning, and we're going to preach a message from Ezekiel 37. This is, many times I think maybe people shy away from the book of Ezekiel. I don't know if they think it's a harder book to understand, but there's some great messages in here, and you guys got to understand where Ezekiel was coming from here in the scripture. You know, Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet that got carried away into Babylon during the time of the captivity between the first and the final deportation. So, but there's some great messages in here, and that one of them we're going to take from Ezekiel 37. And so I put a title on the message today, America's Greatest Need. America's Greatest Need. You say from the scripture, well, what might that be? And I think the answer is found here in Ezekiel 37 on what America's greatest need is. But you look at it today, you say, well, it's important that we get the right Supreme Court justices in place. And I would say amen, amen, and amen to that. It's important who sits on the Supreme Court. It might say, well, America's greatest need is to recover financially. You know, there's been a lot of businesses that have been really hurt through, and a lot of people economically has really been hit over the last few months, and there are people and families still trying to recover from that. So maybe America's greatest need is get America back working again, get people back and their livelihoods and their jobs. And, you know, it's really a sad thing because you're seeing sometimes second and third generation businesses and families, they're losing their livelihoods, they're losing their heritage, and a lot of that's going away. And you feel so bad, man, your heart just breaks when you look at that. But even as important as that is, I don't think that's America's greatest need. You look at it and you say, well, you know, it's an election year. And how important is an election year? Well, it's always important. But, you know, the way I look at the scripture, God raises up kings and brings down kings. God raises up presidents and bring down presidents. The most important thing you and I can do is pray that God would have his hand upon the whole process this year and would put exactly in place who he wants there. And because you can go, I don't care what politician you get and what label you put on it and what name or whatever, you can find fault with any one of them along the way. But you need to look at what they stand for, what their platforms are for, and how that might impact America and the country that we live in. So what is America's need? Is it putting somebody else in the Congress? Is it putting somebody else in the White House? Is it putting somebody else in the Senate? Although those things are all important, I don't think it's maybe America's greatest need. I think the answer to America's greatest need is found right here in Ezekiel chapter 37. So let's look at it to kind of get the setting here. As we said, they're in captivity, they're in Babylon, and you keep in mind Israel has been taken out of their home country. Can you imagine? I can't imagine getting my mind around that. There's three captivities in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel by a foreign power that come in and captured the nation of Israel and then took them into captivity. The Assyrians came in and took Israel into captivity. And then the Assyrians were conquered by the Babylonian Empire and took Israel into captivity. And then the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, took. There's three major captivities. Ezekiel was caught in the middle one here in the Babylonian captivity. So think about that. You're in a far land. You're not in your home country. You know, I can't imagine as many problems as we got in America right now, and you think about all that's going on, we still live in the land of the home and the free and the brave, and we still have a lot of good in this country. At least we haven't been taken over by a foreign power and hauled off to another country somewhere. Think about that. And that's really what happened to Israel right here. They were hauled off into Babylon, and so that's where God raised up then Ezekiel. So while they're in Babylonian captivity, God, in a vision, speaks to Ezekiel. And here's the message. This is one of the visions that he gives Ezekiel. So let's look at it. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Talking about Israel now, here he said, can these bones live again? Can Israel ever be restored again? Can Israel ever go back to her home country again? Can God still do miracles and wonders in the nation of Israel again? And Ezekiel's really saying here in verse 3, God, you're the only one that knows that. You're the only one. O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, Israel here, and say unto them, unto Israel, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I love that in verse 5. Talking about the nation of Israel, and I think about when God created man and woman and put them in the Garden of Eden. And literally, the Bible says that God took the dust of the ground and created man and then breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man has no life until God breathed life into him. Israel here is not going to have no life until God breathes into them, and he'll cause breath to enter into you, and then you shall live. In verse 5 and verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you, Israel, and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord, Israel. And so I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bones to his bone. Think about that. Israel, you know, you got to keep in mind, they were in exile, they're scattered, and so God now is going to breathe life into them and raise them up and bring them back together as a nation. And verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, Israel, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, prophesy into the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding and great army. So now when you look at verse 11, we're going to stop reading in verse 14, but now this vision that Ezekiel gets is now explained in great detail. Because in the vision right then, God oftentimes would give a vision to a prophet that dealt with the nation of Israel or whatever he was dealing with, and that's what he's given to Ezekiel. And now he begins to explain the vision. Here's literally what he's talking about in verse 11. And then he said unto me, Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts, and therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. What does America need? America needs right here God's Spirit and God's power and God's Holy Spirit, just like He did with Israel of old. And shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall I know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So this vision He gives here to the nation of Israel, you got to understand the destitute situation that they were in. Carried off by a foreign power into a foreign land. All loss of hope. I can't imagine. You imagine being taken away from your homes, being taken away from your families, being taken away from the freedoms that you have, and now you're in captivity, and you're in a foreign, run by a foreign country, a foreign nation, a foreign power, and just destitute. And so God has an answer for that. The answer simply is they will not come back to their land. They will not come back to life. They will not enjoy God's blessing until He breathes in them this breath of air, this power. And so what America needs more than anything is a fresh breath from heaven, a fresh breath and power of the Holy Spirit of God to fall upon this land and upon this country and upon this nation. That's what needs to happen. It's not going to be a politician that's going to straighten it out. It's not going to be economics that's going to straighten out. It's not going to be the military that's going to straighten it out. Whatever it is, it's not, you know, and all that's going on today, we need, you and I need individually, a fresh breath from heaven, the fresh power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what we need, my friend today, is revival within our hearts. We need to be revived. And where does that start? In you and I. Starts right here. You want to have revival? Start on your own doorstep. Draw a circle right around you, and you're the only one isolated in that circle, and say, God, start that right here, right in me, right in my heart, in my life. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't worry about whatever down the road. God, do that in my life. And may I get corrected whatever it is need to correct. Whatever sin, start in my own life with my own sin. And God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you, I repent of my sin. I have a regret or remorse for my sin. You say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I really don't have that much sin in my life. Oh, my friend, we do. Whether we recognize we do or not, you got to look inward to yourself and say, God, if there's ever going to be a revival, there needs to be in my own heart and my own life, and it starts right here with me. I can't straighten you out. You can't straighten me out. God can straighten us both out, and He can straighten out the nation of Israel. So he looks at it here. Israel found themselves in this position because of sin and because of turning their back on God. And therefore, God allowed a foreign power to come in, the Assyrians and the Babylonians now, and to take them off into captivity. So what do they need? To solve their national problems, to solve the issues of the day, they needed a fresh breath of God sent from heaven. So when you think about that, you know, let us not be deceived. You know, we must not bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich and not see things as they are. We need to open our eyes and look around us and see the world that we live in. Start with ourselves. Start within the church. Start within our own family. Start within our own, you know, America is, we are America. We are our individual lives and families. And America has great needs today, and the greatest need we have today is to hear from God and a fresh breath from heaven and to have His hand upon our life. The situation here is grave. The situation in Ezekiel 37 is destitute. Let me ask you this today. How bad does it have to get before it really is bad? I don't know about you, but I'd say we're getting pretty close. I mean, we're there in a lot of ways. You look at America and you look at the land that we live in. How bad does it have to get? I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in some foreign power coming in and overthrowing our political system and overthrowing our government and overthrowing our economic system and then taking us all, you know, and taking all of our freedoms and liberties away. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in any of that. I kind of like our liberties and our freedoms and our economics and our, yes, and even our political structure, as heated as that might even get sometimes, and how the Judeo-Christian principles America was built upon. But we do need revival sent from God. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. God, we need a healing today. We need a revival today. We need what Ezekiel had here and what he called this time of dry bones. So for the past quarter of a century, there's been a demonstrated even to the to this world a widespread, think about it, in my lifetime. Now, I don't think I'm that old yet, but I'm going to be 69 this year. 69 is not old, amen? No, that's right. I thought I'd get a few amens. Although my kids think it's ancient, you know. But in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of changes since 1951. A lot. And you think about it. Some of you are right there, and you've watched, and you've lived through those changes of all that's going on. This is not the same America, the same world that we're living in that was there 50 years ago. A lot of things have changed. Let me ask you this. Are we moving towards God, or are we moving farther away from God? I would say to you that one of the first things, and point number one in the message today, is there has been a tremendous discrediting of the Bible. A discrediting of the Bible. And I remember, you know, if you really think about it, if you went back and studied the public school system, the first textbook in the public school system was the Bible, the Word of God. Could we ever get back to that? Well, praise God, if we could, that would be great. I don't know if that'll ever happen in our lifetime. But the first textbook was used was the Bible, the Word of God. And so when you look at it today, you see there's been a lot of changes. And so if we look at a panoramic view of the present conditions, it reveals what state we are really in. What state are we really in? What state is the church in? What state is the world events in? What state is the economics of the world that we live in? A lot of things have changed. So number one, we see the discrediting of the Bible. It is no longer to many the inspired Word of God. You got to keep in mind, the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, the living Word of God. It tells us who we are, how we came into this world. It tells us all about life. It tells us all about creation. It tells you all about money. It tells you how to be a good husband, how to be a good father. It tells you how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother. The Bible is really ultimately the only book you ever really need. If you had to take one book of all books in your education, you need the Bible. And so what do we see? That in our lifetime, the one downfall has been is a discrediting of the Bible, of saying that we really don't need the Bible. Higher criticism has undermined the faith of many in the Bible. The Bible has been neglected in a lot of ways. And I would pray that would not be true of Christians, especially Christians that go to church and call themselves Christians and love the Lord. I would pray the Bible, the Word of God, is your most valuable asset tool that you use week in and week out. I pray you don't come to church and use it on Sunday and then just kind of stick it in the car or leave it on a bookshelf at home and don't. This is the Word of the living God. This is what will help you through every issue of life right here in the Word of God. And so it's a discrediting of the Bible. The Bible's been neglected in a lot of ways, discredited, and its power and influence has been discounted. So we need, what we really need is a real revival of confidence in the Word of God, confidence of faith in the Bible and the Word of the living God. We need to go back to that as the root and the foundation of our lives. Here's the second thing, I think, when you think about America's greatest thing. We need the Word of God. We need it back in all areas and arenas of life, on a national level, on every avenue level. And that is point number two, is there's a devotion to the God of pleasure. A devotion to the God of pleasure. And by that meaning, our society now has geared themselves that if it feels good, do it. Or if it's fun, do it. That everything in life is about pleasure and entertainment and a feel-good society. I'll tell you what, a lot of the things, you know, that builds character and builds integrity and builds things into your life, and that oftentimes, you know, it's not. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I tried to do everything in the world to get out of work That probably, like I said, that wasn't you. My father grew up on a farm and they worked hard. My mother grew up on a farm and worked hard. All of a sudden they buy an acre of ground in Mansfield, Ohio, and they decide they're going to put, we're going to have this little 900 square foot home. That's all it was. One bathroom, 900 square, two bedrooms, home, little bitty home. And we're going to put 3/4 of that acre in a garden. That was my father's way of having fun. I would rather be playing football, baseball, basketball, tennis, riding my bike, going fishing, doing whatever. And he would go to the steel mill, the Empire Reeves Steel Corporation. He'd always write me a note. Rick, before you go and do this today, pick the strawberries, hoe the potatoes, do this, do that. I'd come out around the corner, I'd see that note, and I thought, oh, no. It's like every day another note. So I had a theory. I'd sit on a 5-gallon bucket, and I'd pick a strawberry, eat one, put one in the bucket, eat one, and put one in the bucket. I ate more strawberries when I was growing up as a kid, but there was my father, and we couldn't make a mistake in the garden. There was no worms allowed. There was no disease allowed, everything. And when you harvested potatoes, you didn't stick a shovel in the ground. If you sliced a potato in the ground when you were harvesting the potatoes, he would stop and look at me and say, son, do you know what you just did? That's your food for the winter. You need to learn how to get the potatoes out of the ground without sticking a shovel in the potatoes. So literally, we literally ate out of the garden all year long. The only thing we bought at the store was bread and milk. He bought a cow and a pig every year, butchered it, and put it in the freezer. That was the meat. Everything else was out of the garden. So when you think about it, a lot of times today, we live in a world and a society today where everything is based on pleasure, based on a feel-good society. Pleasure and amusements have increased at a bewildering speed. And thousands, you know, if you think about it, jam stadiums and auditoriums for nothing but amusements, while just a handful then trickle into the churches. Think about that. And I realize we've just gone through a time period. And I love sports. I already told you that. Sports of any kind. Have you noticed, though, that sports, it seems like here recently, just got the brakes put on it? I had somebody tell me the other day, what are we going to do if there's no college football? Well, I don't know. We'll probably, those of you that are sports enthusiasts, will probably miss it, but it's not going to be the end of the world. Amen? And that's so sports is, if, you know, and so we live in a society, we really do, where God, it seems like in a lot of ways, and I don't understand it all, but God in a lot of ways has put the brakes or allowed the brakes to be put on in our society to slow us down. I never would have dreamed that we'd ever been out of church for 9 weeks. I was ready to go back to church after week number 2. And then week number 3 came, and I thought, oh man, this is horrible. And then week number 4. So when you think God has, you know, I don't know if God saw any humor in all that. I hope not, but maybe he did. You know, how our whole world, a lot of ways, things change. You look at it. And so really, we live in a world and society. America's need is really turned to a pleasure-filled world. What we need, though, is a fresh breath of heaven sent from the power of the Holy Spirit of God across our land. Here's thought number 3. A desecration of the Lord's Day. Desecration of the Lord's Day. By that meaning, I realize some in here might remember this, but I remember growing up in the 50s, and the businesses were all closed down on the Lord's Day. You didn't even go out to eat on the Lord's Day. Oh my, you're saying that in a Baptist church. Because all of you are already thinking about where you're going to go eat today when you're out of here. But I remember in the 50s that we ate at home, or you're going to a relative's house, or you're cooking a home-cooked meal, whatever that is. Some of you have forgot what a home-cooked meal is. I would take the home-cooked meal any day of the week over any, and that's not a slam against the restaurants, but nothing better than a good home-cooked meal. And so when you think about that, it's really become, though, a desecration of the Lord's Day. We need a blood transfusion from our Puritan fathers that will abandon the amusement and the recreation on the Lord's Day. Many treat the Lord's Day like it's just like any other day of the week. And they're off doing this amusement and that amusement and this entertainment and that entertainment, and no regard for Sunday as being the Lord's Day. A day of rest, a day to be with family, a day to be in the Lord's house of worship. And so when you think about that, you know, people have little time to stop and to think about God. And Sundays, the Lord's Day, gives you an opportunity to do that. It's the Lord's Day, an opportunity to stop and to worship and to be here and to fellowship with God's people and to focus, and nothing more important than going to church. You know, my grandmother didn't get saved till she got older in life. They attended a little Methodist church down in Mehickenville, Ohio. I mean, that's in no man's land, back in farm country, and had a little Methodist church set on the hill there. And Helen Anderson, my grandmother, she had 9 children. And my grandfather, Walter Anderson, he had to be the most patient man. However, that man, that's where I got the love for sports, because my grandfather could set, I have watched him, growing up watching him, he could read a paper. Remember the old transistor radios with the earpiece? He listened to the Cleveland Indians ball game, and he could watch the paper and watch TV. He could do 3 things at one time, all 3 different whatever in sports. And my grandmother drove her crazy. So, you know, they were always late everywhere they went. And Walter, my grandfather, had no, you know, because you just wasn't going to rush Helen Anderson. You were not going to make her get there. So every Sunday when they come to church, they come late. My grandmother always wanted to sit down about the 2nd row. So here they come, all 11 of them, through the door, disrupt and come right down all the way in, sit right down front. Bless her heart. She got saved later in life and come to know the Lord. And some of the greatest joys that I have is of my grandmother, Helen Anderson. I watched her time and time again. You know, she was kind of the matriarch of the family. We'd be at the family farmhouse, and there'd be literally on a Sunday afternoon, every Sunday afternoon, we didn't have a choice. You went to Grandpa and Grandma's for Sunday. You dropped what you're doing. We all went to Mehickenville, Ohio, to the farm every Sunday afternoon. We'd get there, and there would be 40, 50, 60 of us in that little farmhouse, wall to wall, every chair filled, kids playing everywhere. You know, children everywhere, outside, inside. They had a horse. We rode the horse. That's where I learned how to snow ski. That's where we learned how to do a lot of things down there on that farm. And so it was interesting to watch. I remember one time sitting there, and some of the grandkids were acting up one day, and I was watching. I thought, well, the parents, my aunt and uncle, they're going to straighten them out in a minute. And I was waiting for them to get straightened out, and they were not getting straightened out. They weren't moving fast enough. My grandmother this was like she was in her late 80s, got up and walked across that room in front of all those relatives, snatched that kid up and yanked him out in the dining room, and she took care of it. It was like, you don't cross your grandmother. So when you think about it, you know, and you watch and you grow up, and the Lord's Day was meant to be the Lord's Day, a day to worship, a day to be with family, a day to honor Him, and yet we've gone through and we've desecrated the Lord's Day. And with church doors being closed, many churches for summer months or worldliness or whatever things that have come along the way, churches have really changed over the years. It's a desecration. May we go back to and put on the Lord's Day what the Lord's Day needs to be, and putting God first in our worship and honoring Him. Here's the 4th thought with this. As I think, America's greatest need is a discounting of the public and private praying. We need more prayer. And so I don't know about you, but I heard our president say, this was the Friday before May the 24th, and America's in this battle of what's essential, what's not essential, and all this stuff going on, and he made the comment, the churches need to get back to a house, a place of worship, and we need to get back to a house of prayer. We need to pray. And I thought, amen and amen. I remember he talking, saying that, and we really need to go. If we're really going to have revival, there needs to be prayer. And where are the churches, you know, with the emphasis of prayer and prayer meeting? I don't know where you're at and what you do on prayer meeting, but you can usually gauge the size of congregations. Your largest crowd will always be on Sunday morning. There'll be fewer people on Sunday night. There'll be even fewer people, what we call, on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. I've often wondered, if you're not in prayer meeting, then where's your prayer meeting some other place in the week, and where at, and what do you do in prayer meeting? We need more prayer. And God's word simply says, if my people, which, you know, shall humble themselves and pray. And so, churches, we need to focus more on that. The world has more and more pull and power over the average life, even over God's people. And the power of prayer is absolutely important. Let me share this thought number 5 along with this and our greatest need. You know what we need? We need another Billy Graham in America. Amen? Where's the heaven sent revivals? Where's the power of God upon the meetings? And I thank God, I don't know about you, but I thank God for Franklin Graham day in and day out on a national level, and to see what Franklin Graham is doing and the influence he's having around the world. We need more Franklin Grahams. And you see on a national level, Billy Graham, the influence of that. And so we live at a time in our society, in our world, that we don't see the aggressive evangelism. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about when you look at it and you see the revivals. You know, if you want to have a revival meeting nowadays, it gets fewer and fewer evangelists to be able to choose from. Not only that, churches are just not doing revival meetings nowadays. Many of them will say it's a thing of the past. Really? It's not a thing of the past. It's just times have changed and things have changed, and the old-time revival life has gone into decay, and the love of God and the soul for souls that demanded the meetings that has been either left or lost, and we now try to educate people into the kingdom of God. Where's the revival meetings? I remember, and it hasn't been that many years ago, we used to do revival meetings. I know in South Dakota we started on Sunday morning and run them through Friday night. You don't see that now. Our revival meeting coming up here in September will start on Sunday morning and go through Wednesday night. You know what will be a challenge? I'd encourage you, put the dates. Put Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You say, well, I got this going on, that going on. We all got things going on. To make it a matter of priority to pray and to seek God and to seek revival and to seek an opportunity to bring others to Christ. And the revival thing has really gone into the history books. And there's what we need is a fresh breath of heaven sent here. That God's saying here, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I have spoken it. And then the last thought with this morning, the dedication of life to a cause. And this is done by thousands, and realizing here, and Christian workers, that we need to dedicate our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to seek His will and to seek His direction and follow His leadership and let the Lord Jesus Christ be an influence in your life. Where do you stand with Him today? When, you know, if you really think about it, He is going to judge. We're going to stand before Him at the day of judgment for our salvation and for the things done in this life. Do you know Him today? Do you have a relationship with Him today? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior today? Do you realize that judgment day may not be that far off? So you really think about it today. America's need doesn't lie in the next politician. America's greatest need doesn't lie in, you know, the thing is that we're like, America's greatest need today is looking here in Ezekiel 37, is getting back to the Lord and having God breathe His power and His leadership and His hand upon America, upon our churches, upon our families, upon this nation as a whole. One nation under God. What's it going to take to get us back to one nation under God and serving Him? I have not seen so much evil and turmoil and rioting and bickering, and like Brother Ron said a while ago, in America. We need prayer, folks. Individually, collectively, as a church, as a nation, as a whole. America's greatest need. We need prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. And God, may we get back and may You break our hearts and humble us. And Father, today convict us individually of our own sin and realizing that there are none righteous, no, not one. And God, that we are all sinners. And God, we must realize that the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God, today it's our prayer, if there's one here that's not yet saved, God, today, that they would come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So Father, may we settle this thing on salvation. And then Father, today, just like Israel here of old, as they're off being influenced by Babylon and in need of a fresh breath from heaven, God, we need Your hand. We need Your power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need Your direction upon all that we do. And God, may we confess our sin today. May we start individually with ourselves. And may we pray for our nation, for our country, and for the needs that we live in today. So God, speak to our hearts as we surrender ourselves to You afresh and anew. And may You have free reign and liberty to work in our hearts for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. As we give an invitation today, we'd encourage you to come and pray, and pray for your family, pray for America, pray for whatever it is that God's laid a burden on your heart to pray for. You know, our churches have long lost that being a house of prayer. That's really what Jesus called it, a house of prayer. And it's probably one of the things that we do the least of. Without that prayer, my friend, no power of the Holy Spirit, no breath, fresh breath of God upon all that we're doing. We need His hand upon our lives. Brother Ron, would you lead us today?
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The past of sin to
keep it a priority in our lives, individually, in our families, in our homes, in our churches, given the Bible its due and the impact that it can have. It's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, God, today, may we realize the seriousness of where we're at and seeing how the family unit has been discredited and being destroyed from within. Our government will only be as strong as our families are strong. God, we need you today. We need a fresh breath from heaven. God, we need you to breathe life into these bones. God, may you work in our hearts. Convict us of our sin. We pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the election. We pray for those that serve in positions of leadership. We pray for our churches around America today that are preaching the gospel. God, that you would send revival fires across this land, and the power of God would fall upon our churches, upon those that preach the word of God. And may our church and our church families turn to you and make the Bible and the Lord's Day a priority in their lives. And God will be sure to give you all the praise, to do only what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment. Let me just give you a couple announcements. We're going to let you go and so continue to pray for things coming forward. Pray for the revival meeting. Again, those dates are September the 13th to the 16th. I want to encourage you to, if you can, to be here for that. The American Red Cross on August the 3rd. Is going to do a blood drive here. If you're interested in doing that, they need help on the contributions with that. So I don't know if there's a sign up. Is there a sign up sheet? No. So you sign up online for that. And then we also have Grandpa and Grandma over here have a new addition. Grayson George was born. Yeah, give him a hand. Can't you see that Tony and Roz are not really sitting on the pew? They're just elevated a little bit. They got their number two grandchild, Grayson George, born to Eric and Linda. And Eric grew up here in this church, and so praise the Lord. It's always good to have new babies come into the families and homes. And so They will never be the same after that. So it's she'll have pictures at the Welcome Center. There you go, if you want to see the baby and that. So anyway, let's stand together. And good to see you in the Lord's house. Read the bulletin, the thing. Services tonight at 6. And midweek, services at 6:30. Want to encourage you to be back in the Lord's house. Pray for our nation. America needs it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for Ezekiel 37. Thank you for the vision that you gave to Ezekiel when he looked around and saw his nation, his country, Israel, in bondage and captivity and not in their land and not being blessed by you. And so, God, we realize today we need your blessings. We ask for your blessings, but we also know that we must confess our sin, walk with you in fellowship with you. May we put the Bible and give it its rightly due and give the Lord's Day its first place in what we need to do to worship you and to honor you. And God, I do pray your hand will be upon our country, our nation. There are many national sins that we have that need to be dealt with. And God, may America repent, and may we as God's people repent of our sin and turn toward you. And Father, we love you today. We need a fresh breath from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Here's your handshake. Stick your hand out there, if you will. Have a great day. Good to see you.